This podcast for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is brought to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Order of worship will be an opening hymn. The scripture readings for today will be as follows. The Old Testament lesson, a reading from Psalms, and the second reading. The gospel lesson for today will follow a little different format. There will be a short sermon by the pastor, then the Holy Gospel, then a second part of his sermon. Prayers follow the sermon, and the worship service will end with the benediction.
Opening hymn is Come Let Us Worship.
Scripture readings are next, and we'll follow the format as outlined earlier.
Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and keeping in his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you call are going over to Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before your new life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 119, verse 1 through 8. Blessed are those who walk, whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The second reading is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, when you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in the human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, or another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Now we begin the special part of the service, in which the first part will be a portion of Pastor Carpenter's sermon. The second part will be the Holy Gospel. And the third part will be the last portion of Pastor Carpenter's sermon.
Start off with a question or a thought. The why. In one of the Star Wars movies, The Phantom Menace, I think, is the name of it, there's a master whose name is Qui-Gon Jinn. He's discovered a child, a boy, who has incredible levels of Jedi powers. Forget the name of those little things, but he's filled with them. The boy's name is Anakin Skywalker. After a time of discovery about this child and his special God-given gifts, Qui-Gon asked the mother permission to let the boy come with him to train to be a Jedi. And the mother, well, even though her heart longs for her son, knows it's a good thing because she's a slave. So she sends her son off with Qui-Gon to learn how to be a Jedi. After she gives permission, the boy is following Anakin out from the town across the desert to this beautiful ship that's waiting outside to take them off. Out and across town they walk. Across the desert they walk. Now, while walking, no doubt because he has acute Star Wars Force sense, the master looks around, aware of something, and he sees this Darth Maul character, hooded, dark uniform, or kind of like this, only just dark, right? He's on top of this hover motorcycle looking thing with guns hanging off the front, and he's racing across the desert, straight at the boy, straight at him. He's coming like with a vengeance, and the master shouts, knowing that this thing's getting so close imminently, he shouts to the child, to this Anakin, he says, Anakin, down. Immediately, the boy falls on his belly. The motorcycle races right over his head just in time the boy fell, races toward him. Darth Maul flips off this motorcycle, whips out this two-bladed red saber, and proceeds to try to kill Qui-Gon Jinn. Quite a sword fight follows. Quite an impressive sword fight at that. Good and evil go to war. Now, from personal experience, my wife, and personal experience with three sons, and actually thousands of other people I've met in my life through church and other things, I have often wondered this. What would have happened if the boy would not have followed the master's instruction immediately? And the answer was, he would have been run over by that high-speed motorcycle with guns. He would have been either severely wounded or he would have been killed. What would have happened if the boy would have looked around to figure out why the master made such a crazy command in the first place? He would have been run over by the motorcycle and been severely wounded or killed. What would have happened if the boy would have just kept walking, asking the question of the master Qui-Gon Jinn, why would I want to do something like that? He would have been run over. He would have been severely injured or killed. Asking why. Personally deciding to comply before obeying. Is that rooted in mistrust? That you just don't trust the person who's given you the instruction? Or is it rooted in your desire to grasp and maintain personal control until you're sure of what your answer would be? Maybe it varies person to person, according to time, place, the people involved, circumstances, and the instruction or commands being given to you. But I share that bit of movie and related thoughts and questions before we read the gospel lesson today intentionally, because I want you to join me in thinking about how those things relate to Jesus's commands to us today. The master, the God of all creation, the one who spoke and there was, the one who knows you before you're born and who is with you every breath of your life here and who receives you when you go home. This God who put the universe together, who put nature together in the beauty, in the complexity of all that we see and that we don't even see. That God gives clear and immediate instructions in today's gospel lesson. It's part of an extended sermon, a Sermon on the Mount. Now, as you're listening to these parts of the sermon, and maybe as you go home and read from chapter, say, 5 to chapter 8 in Matthew's gospel, I want you to have this haunting question in your mind. I want you to wrestle with this because it will turn out to be a blessing, because, friends, I have wrestled this week again, and it's turning out to be a blessing. When you hear Jesus' words to you, do you immediately obey and seek understanding later? Or do you have a level of mistrust in the master and will make a decision only after you understand the command and the why? Or will you personally firmly grasp control and at some time at your leisure, decide whether or not you will obey on your schedule, of course? Which of the three? Please stand as we read the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Do not kill. Do not hold anger against your brothers or sisters. Do not insult your brother or sister. Do not tear your brother or sister down with words. You will be liable to the fires of hell. Do not commit adultery. Do not look at a man or woman with lust. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose your eye to be thrown in hell. If the right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your hands than to have your body in hell. Do not divorce your wife or husband, except on the grounds of sexual immorality. Do not swear falsely. Do not take an oath at all. Let your word, your yes or your no, let it be enough. From the parts that we read before the gospel lesson, do you immediately obey and seek understanding later? Do you have a level of mistrust in the master and make decisions after understanding the commandment and the why? Or do you firmly grasp personal control and decide for yourself whether or not you will ever obey the master's command? Long after the sermon time is over, it's my hope, maybe even dream, that you would remember what I'll give next as a following insight, so that whenever you touch upon these commandments or others that are given throughout the New Old Testament, that maybe with this fall weed peace, you will have an ability to relax your firm grasp on control when hearing commands, that you might gain a high level of trust in our master, that maybe you would just immediately obey, even if understanding never comes. This is the part that will help us with this, I hope. Martin Luther and some of the reformers shared this. I'll read it slowly. I'll probably read it twice. Law is the precious gift of an adoring parent given to beloved children, urging them to treat each other well because he loves them all. Say it again. Law is a precious gift of an adoring parent given to beloved children, urging them to treat each other well because he loves them all. Friends, God cares that we keep the good order of his creation for our sake, not for the law's sake. That's because God loves. Now, a story to help make the point about the whole eye gouging, hand cutting, whatever. A long time ago in a land, there was an evil king. The evil king had bribed, threatened, blackmailed his way into positions of ultimate authority. The evil king had surrounded himself with those who would follow his commands, a massive and powerful, well-trained army. They all followed his command out of fear for their lives, the fear for their families' lives. So they followed the instructions. Within the boundaries of this king's land, there was some good families remaining. One of these families, a wealthy landowner, had a good son. He was an honorable young man. His resistance to evil and his desire to protect those under his care caused this young man deep trouble. And this young son lacked the survival skills of restraint of his father when in the presence of the evil king or his ambassadors. The young man spoke out about the king's atrocities and openly resisted the evil actions of this evil king. Well, as you can imagine, the good son was arrested by the king's guards. He was taken to the capital city, and there, in a very public place, he was flogged severely by the captain of the guard. He would be an example to all like him. Nearly to death, this good young man was beaten, but he survived, and so to prison he went. The father of the good man quietly went around asking his friends to assist him and to gather up and to organize and to collect themselves so that they could oppose this evil king and his power. And they did grow in numbers. They did grow in strength and ability. And in time, they succeeded in battle. And in the end, they killed the evil king. They captured the capital city, and they set the good son and all the prisoners free. This newly established king, he received his freed son with a longing embrace, and with a large crowd celebrating this event, the new king offered his good son an opportunity to take revenge upon the captain of the guard who had flogged him nearly to the point of death. The king had that captain of the guard bound to a post in the middle of this place, and he gave his son the very tool that the captain of the guard had whipped him with. Here, son, take your revenge. The good son took that whip in his hands, and looking at the people around him, the crowds now in silence, he said, "Someone slaps you. Do you blame the hand? Or do you blame the mind that ordered the hand to slap? The hand has no choice. It is the mind that's at fault. The captain of the guard was only the hand. The mind that ordered him is now dead. I have no desire to flog the hand." At the feet of the bound captain of the guard, the son drops the whip on the ground, and he says, "It's time to go home." And he goes home. Now, with that story in mind, I'll ask you a few more questions. Is today's gospel lesson about your eyes and how they look upon others or things with lust? Is the gospel lesson about our mouths that speak angry words and hurtful words or even swear-taking oaths? Is the gospel lesson about a hand that's used to strike and cause damage on another? To those questions, I say, I don't think so. And if we mutilate our body's genitalia, if we cut out our eyes, if we cut off our hands, if we make ourselves deaf and mute, would not the cause of our sin remain? This gospel lesson, it's not about maiming the body. It's an emphatic and honest naming of our collective problem. We are corrupted by sin, even to our hearts, our motives, our dreams, the deepest parts of us corrupted. And we lack love. And it's also an invitation then, with that recognition that everyone has sinned. At the end of this little piece of his sermon, there's not one person in that crowd of thousands that can say that I am without sin and I'm not liable to the fires of hell. Not one. So with that, this becomes, in time, an opportunity for our confession. That we could ask our God, who is perfect, that he would create in us clean and loving hearts. That we would just respond this day and every day with gratitude for his capacity and desire to forgive and love even us. And that because of his efforts on the cross, our sins have been paid. And with this, we might truly live. In the creation, the way he intended, that we would honor each other. We would honor our Lord. We would follow his commands because they are what's best for us and for the world around us. The words of the reformers. The laws you heard today and the summation of the laws of the Bible, friends, they are a precious gift from our adoring Heavenly Father, given to us, his beloved children, urging us to treat each other well because he loves us all. God help us be this people. Amen.
The service will continue with the hymn of the day, which is out of normal order, but it has special reference to this sermon, which you'll learn in a bit.
The hymn of the day is "Before the Throne of God Above."
I have a strong hand.
just to pause on the liturgy between the start and the finish, between the invocation and the benediction. It serves one purpose, and sometimes they're not complete in and of themselves. The song we just sang, in many ways, is a completion to the sermon that was offered and the words that we offered before. I bow before the cross of Christ and marvel at his love divine. God's perfect Son was sacrificed to make me righteous in God's eyes. This river's depth I cannot know, but I can glory in its flood. The Lord Most High has bowed down low and poured on me his glorious love. That's the good news that completes many things today. And so just be aware of how the liturgy works. Sometimes one piece helps complete another piece. We'll continue now with what we believe, our declaration of faith.
Let us declare our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your loving kindness toward us is especially evident today. We thank you and praise you for creating your church and for giving life to this congregation. Hear now our prayer as we come to you as your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the blessings you have given to our congregation during these 6 years. Thank you for blessing us with safe and comfortable location to gather and worship. Thank you for a place for fellowship and to learn your word. We ask that you continue to lead us and bless us that we might use this place for your glory. Lord, we also ask that you continue to bless and guide us as we seek a permanent location to gather as your people. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, if it gives you glory, continue to bless Emmanuel Lutheran Church with a desire and ability to love as you love and serve as you serve. Give us hearts of gratitude and humility as we live together as your church. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for inspiring us these past 6 years. We ask that you continue to fill our hearts, minds, and bodies as we move into the future you have planned for us. Make us to know the Father's holy will. Give us courage and strength to pursue his will. Protect us from anything that distracts or divides. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, from you all good things come. We thank you for joys, celebrations, and milestones shared in our lives this week. Father, we pray for all in need. We pray for those who are ill, those hospitalized, for those captured by a spirit of depression or addiction, for those who will not get well except on Resurrection Day, for those we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray. We will trust in you and in your mercy. In Jesus' name we boldly pray. Amen.
This worship service will close with the benediction.
And as you go on your way, may Christ go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. This in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're glad you could be with us for this podcast. We invite you back at any time that you're on the road or is inconvenient to attend your on-site church services.